So on our Wednesdays, we have been looking at, we have been talking along the lines of renewed strength. Renewed strength. And our text of reckoning, or our base text, has been Isaiah chapter 40 and from verse 28. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, we read to verse 31. Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. I'll read it again. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. He doesn't faint nor is weary. He said, there is no searching of his understanding. Hallelujah. Verse 29 says, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And when we started this teaching, we said that, look, the fulfillment of destiny necessitates that somebody has sustained energy. It necessitates it. Because you see, in life, it is not starting that is usually the biggest problem. It is continuing. And most of the time, when people start well, somewhere along the line, they lose steam, they lose energy, they lose focus, they lose power. They lose what it takes to make things happen. And then what you now find out is that they will not end the way they were supposed to end because somewhere along the line, they got tired. And that's why the scripture that we read here says that you need to understand there are types. That God is in a class and men are in a class. And when you talk about men, men are limited. When you talk about God, God is unlimited. Now, if anybody is care is if anybody has care has interest in being unlimited in some ways, he needs to leave the realm of man and come to the realm of God and enjoy the presence and power of God, because it's that God that can make him to be unlimited. The Bible says here, it says even the young people will faint, even the things that should not fail will fail. Have we not seen it a lot in this country? Last year election, the analysis failed. Yesterday's election. Some people knew. I didn't plan to mention it, but you know, sometimes I can't but not mention it. You know, I didn't know what time did I even sleep. I slept whenever I slept. But I remember that yesterday I said, let me check one news channel that I don't always listen to. I know Pastor Andrew likes that channel, but I just put it on and I put it. I said, let you be playing, and I slept off because I just wanted to hear how they would treat what has happened, because they didn't see that coming. Now, what God is telling us is this, that even anything in the natural can fail, even though everything says it should not fail. A young person can get tired. Even though you will think young people should be of strength and of vigor and of, you know, a show of strength, they can get tired. But the Bible said that it's only the people that wait upon him that can renew their strength. So everybody, so to say, will get tired. But if you now factoring God, when you are supposed to get tired, you'll be refired. I see somebody being refired in the name of Jesus. Instead of getting tired, you will be refired in the name of Jesus. So we said that the fulfillment of destiny has something to do with energy. And if you've been around life a little bit, you will know that many things will not happen in our world without force. In fact, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, it says, the kingdom of God itself suffers violence, and only the violence take it by force. So there is an element of force to the fulfillment of destiny. You need power, you need force, you need the force of God to fulfill destiny. And I believe that force is released in your direction in the name of Jesus. And I, you know, when we started this teaching, we said that nothing really happens unless a force is applied to it. You know, in Psalm 110 verse 3, the Bible says, your people will be willing in the day of your power. If you read that scripture casually, you'll be like, what does that mean? Your people will be willing in the days of your power. What? Is this it? Oh, the people shall be willing. I'm like, I didn't see willing there. Okay. So he says, your people will be willing in the day of your power. Another translation says, your people will be volunteers in the days of your power. Sometimes, I don't know if this has happened to you. You are looking, you want to do something. It's just difficult to happen. You want to make something happen. It's just difficult. Some of the times, the problem is not what you want to do. It's that there's not enough power. There's not enough power. I think it was one of the presidents of the United States that said something. He said, if you give me 10 hours to fell a tree, he said, I will take about 6 hours to sharpen the axe. Because when the axe is sharp, the tree will fall down quickly. But some people would rather spend 8 hours struggling with the tree rather than making sure that the axe is powerful. Ladies and gentlemen, in life, it is not so much struggle with the tree. It is so much sharpening the axe. And that's why the Bible says, your people shall be able to do when there's power, when there is strength, when God releases something. So there are some things that have been impossible for us, not because God doesn't want it to happen, but we are not strong enough. Our strength is weak. Our capacity to make it happen is little. But when we cling to God, the more we cling to God, the more we are able to glide, the more we are able to make it happen. And I see that as somebody's testimony in the name of Jesus. You know, in fact, Proverbs 24 verse 10 says, if you fail in the days of adversity, you see, it's because your strength is little. There are many failures that are not failures per se. It is a strength issue. It's a power failure. It's a strength failure. So when you can increase the strength, if you can reinforce the person, there will be something that will happen. I've given this analogy before, that I heard it from a man of God. He said, what is the difference between $10 and $100? What's the difference? Huh? The decimal place. It is the place where you put the decimal. The difference between a rich man and a poor man is the power of the man, is the force on the different persons, or what they know, or what they have access to. So this power can be something you can think of in that decimal place level. Where when the power of God, you engage it more and more, you key into more and more, you move more decimal places. So if you are a 10, it moves, you can move to 100. If you are 100, you can move to 10,000. Same user. Same user. Same you. The same you can go to a place, fail there, and when you are reinforced by God, go the same place, nothing changing, you succeed there. I've told you this story before. I had an interview, and I was in this interview. The guy had asked me the question. I had answered the question, and I had flunked the answer. Because the guy told me, he said, is that the best you can do? And when you hear an interviewer saying, telling you, is that the best you can do? Ladies and gentlemen, you are... You can kiss the job goodbye. And I'm like, no. I got to get this job. This is like prophetic job. Because before that time, when I was in school, when I was in college, I used to say about two things. I say, I'm not going to the labor market. I'm going to the favorable market. I used to say that. And then I used to tell some people, I say, I will buy Microsoft. I'll buy some part of Microsoft. I'm like, you know, so when I now got to America, and I got this interview with Microsoft. I said, this is a trajectory to buying that Microsoft. So I was thinking like, God wants to make this thing happen very quick. I must buy this Microsoft. So when I sat there, in my mind, I'm like, God, you know that this job is mine. So whatever you need to do here, you need. So what did I do? Say me, but I had failed. But I understood somehow by divine help. I understood that I needed to reinforce myself. And the guy said, is that the best thing you can do? I said, I looked at him. I said, can you give me 1 minute? I didn't stand up, stood there. I just took my head down. He didn't know what I was doing. But I just prayed under my breath for like about a few seconds.
I just raised up my head. I didn't know what I was going to say. But you see, if you fail in the day of adversity, your strength is little. But if you can wait on the Lord, he can renew your strength. So you can be filled in a particular place, and if you wait on the Lord and he renews your strength, that same place, you can deliver differently. I raised up my head and I began to speak. I didn't know what I was going to say, but I just said anything anyway. And what I said impressed the guy and impressed me too. And the rest is history. We got that job. Can somebody say amen? So what am I saying tonight? What I'm saying tonight is this. There is something about the strength that we carry. If you are looking at 2018, don't just look at 2018. Let me go and hit that here. It is not about determination. It is the thing you carry. It is what you have on the inside of you. It is the you who show up in 2018. If it's the you that showed up in 2016 and the one that showed up in early 17 that shows up in 2018, you may be disappointed the same way some of us have been disappointed in 2017. Because if you do the same thing and expect a decent result, what did they tell us it is? Insanity. It is definition of not being wise. So what you need to do differently is to key into the power of God, is to key into the strength of God. But I see somebody receiving new strength in the name of Jesus. Strength is very, very important in the Bible. I can say a lot about strength. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11, the Bible said that it was a strength issue for Sarah. The reason Sarah was delayed was a strength issue. And the Bible says, and Sarah herself received strength. Ladies and gentlemen, you can receive strength. It said, and Sarah, through faith, received strength to conceive. Strength to conceive. God has spoken the word, but she now took it. She took the strength. And then somebody that is in her 90s was able to carry a baby. Ladies and gentlemen, it is not too late. I want you to look at two or three people. Tell them it's not too late. It is not too late. Tell that person, say, God comes big when it comes late. So we kind of painted that picture and talked about strength. And then we moved forward in the second week and talked about the fact about some really key things that has to do with strength. You know, I told you of the story of how I am trying to exercise, you know, and I've been listening to some stuff, and one of the things they said about exercise, I'm trying to lose weight. So one of the things they told us is that to lose weight or gain muscle mass or turn fat to muscle so that you will be buck and cut and more defined. All right, okay. they said we need to exercise, we need to rest, and then we need to watch what we eat. And that caught my attention, because majority of our strength comes from our nutrition. Nutrition is fuel for the body. What you eat is what you will deliver with. You know, there's a saying, an African saying that says, it is what the bird eats that makes the bird to fly. So why does the eagle fly? It is the eagle's diet that makes the eagle fly. The eagle is a bird that is different from most birds. The eagle flies at some altitude that no other bird flies at that altitude. The eagle is different. In fact, the eagle flies at some altitude that when other birds are tired, that's when the eagle now begins to soar. Soar is not just flying, it's graduating in heights, moving gradually in height. And it was even the concept of birds that the Wright brothers looked at before going and designing the plane. It was the concept of birds. And most importantly, I believe it will be the eagle that they used, because the eagle flies really high. But do you know why the eagle flies that high? The eagle feeds very well. You know, I was reading, I can't remember where I read that, that the eagle does not eat dead things, only eats living. Life. That, you didn't get that. The eagle doesn't eat dead things. The eagle only eats live things. And ladies and gentlemen, you are an eagle believer. The eagle eats live food. That's why the energy the eagle has is different from other birds. Because other birds eat dead things. You see vultures and all these other funny birds. When things happen, I'm sure you've seen some of these refugee camps before, where there are human carcass and human stuff. You see birds there. It's not the eagle. Forget it. The eagle is not going to be there eating all of that. I was listening to somebody, I think today. He said they were flying and the guy just had pow. And when he looked out, he saw that it was a fish. Fish in the sky? How did it happen? How could a fish have gotten to the sky? Do you know the answer? The eagle, sir. picked up that fish from the water, live and direct. Maybe the fish was still struggling. Say, you get away. I'll go and pick another one. The eagle eats fresh food. So the nutrition of the eagle is one of the opportunity, is where the eagle gets its strength. So nutrition as a child of God is very, very important. What you take in, what you hear, what you hear. Jesus was telling disciples, take it to how you hear. What you hear determines too many things. There are many times that people are praying, but they don't know that the prayer works not just by what you have requested for, but by some of the other surrounding things that make that request possible. That's it. Have you not always wondered why some people will pray the same prayer, they will have results, and another person will pray the same prayer, they won't have results? Why? Is God partial? Are they asking a different God? Do they have a different line? I mean, if it is in Africa now, you believe that, so there may be some back roots. there's a back channel, because in Africa, in many of these, even in parties, be sure that it's not everybody that is eating the same food. There is a special food for some people. And be sure that when they say all the food has finished, the food hasn't finished. No. There's always something different. Everything is not as it looks. There's always some hidden stuff going on in the background. But God is not like that. He's not hiding anything somewhere that nobody can get access to. So why is it that some people operate at some level different from some other people? Can I tell you some of the answer? Nutrition. The eagle is a bird. The vulture is a bird. Is there a bird called canary? Canary is a bird. Sparrow, birds. And all these guys, birds. But they don't fly at the altitude of the eagle. Why? Are they not with wings too? Is it not by wings? Is chicken not a bird? I mean, science people will tell us, is chicken not a bird? Poultry bird. But chicken is a fake bird. Because probably, I can even probably fly more than many chicken. Especially American chicken. Maybe African chicken can fly. Because some of those African chicken, you know, they I don't know what they call the sport. They fight with chicken. I was watching a movie recently. They were fighting with chicken. You've seen that before, right? Amazing. That's what they do. They just deal it. But eagles fly. Why? Because of what they eat. Because of what they eat. And so the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Let's read that scripture and then I will use it to segue into what I'll do tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Is it coming up, sir? I've been doing KJV nowadays. I think you should let me do New King James Version. But I'm really falling in love with King James again. Because many of the scriptures that you have learned, you learned them in KJV. So sometimes it's good to recall it back in that KJV version. But if we do NKJV, that's a little more to this English. The Bible said, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that gives you power to get wealth." It is he that gives you power to get wealth. The word power there is the ability to do. It is God that gives you the ability to do. So the strength that we need for our life is in God. Now, how do we now get that strength from God in form of nutrition? It is by knowing and hearing God that helps us not to faint. You know, in that Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 to 30, the way Isaiah started that prophecy was this. Have you not heard? And have you not known? Hearing and knowing of God releases his strength. Because that's how we tap into his strength. We don't eat food in the natural. There's no way we eat, so to say, that helps us to get from the strength from God. But it is hearing and knowing. It is hearing and knowing. And I focused last week seriously on hearing. Talking about the fact, I started with, we kind of ended with Romans chapter 10,
which is where we'll pick it up from now. Romans chapter 10, and let's start reading from verse 8. Romans chapter 10, reading from verse 8. So last week we ended by this and said that we feed well when we hear well. And so we talked about listening to anointed messages, listening to the word of God. On Sunday, I hinted at it, but in 2018, we're going to do collective Bible reading together. I tried the events, I think 2 days ago, on Bible YouVersion. There's a way we can create an event and everybody can follow, and we can also do a plan that all of us can follow together. People can make their comments. We want to do the New Testament together, at least in the first 3 months, as an opportunity for some of us to go along that way. Many people read devotional, and I don't have a problem with that. I do. I have devotionals that come into me, but there's something about reading the Bible from the source, just raw, without any premonitions, without any person trying to explain what it is saying to you. Just read it raw like that. It's good. It's good. And by the grace of God, early next year, we are going to go by that. Look at what the Bible says here. Romans chapter 10 verse 8. He said, what does it say? What's here it? The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That means the word of faith is the word that is in the mouth and in the heart. That's the word of faith. We'll get back there. Verse 9. That if you will confess with your mouth, confess with your mouth. You will confess with your mouth. You will give voice to the word with your mouth that the Lord Jesus is Jesus, and you will believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. You will be saved. And this is how every other salvation happens. Confess with your mouth. Believe with your heart. Because many people read this when they want to give their life to Jesus for the first time. But you see, this scripture is not just to receive Jesus. It's also to live your life in Jesus like that. This is how everything works in the kingdom. Verse 9. Verse 9 I read? Okay, verse 10. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Number 11. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon his name. I love that scripture. God does not have favorites per se. Everybody has the same access to God. We can call upon the same God and he will answer us if we follow his principles. If we follow the protocol of how he has asked us to approach him, he will answer us. Verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear without a preacher? There is a role of preacher in the feeding of yourself. Because you receive strength by hearing and knowing. But how will you hear when there is no preacher? So that's why we come to church. That's why we listen to messages. Even preachers should be listening to preacher. I listen to preacher a lot. I probably listen to preacher more than, sometimes I listen to myself too. Amen. Some of these words that I say, because I don't write everything word for word down. Some of it, God just said it through me in the immediate. And I listen back to myself. Sometimes I go back and listen to church service, start to finish. I'm probably the one that listens mostly to many of our services here, even the songs. Amen. That's how we catch some of those. We'll talk about that later. All right. He says, how can they hear without a preacher? Verse 15. So we need preachers. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings. Let's stop at that verse 15. Hallelujah. So today, I want to make emphasis on confession. Can somebody say confession? In Romans chapter 10, verse 8, the Bible says, the word is near you, or the food for your strength is not far from you. The word is near you. Can you pull up Romans chapter 10, verse 8 again? Romans chapter 10, verse 8. The word is near you. The word is near you. You say, what does he say? The word is near you, even in your mouth.
The word is near you, even in your mouth. Look, Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says, the word of the Lord is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into the dividing asunder of souls and marrow. So the word of God is very, very powerful. But as powerful as the word of God is, it's unless it's spoken. You release the power, the strength in the word by voicing it. The word of God is potent when it becomes spoken. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God, and the Word was God. He now said in verse 14, and the Word became flesh, or the Word was animated. God wants every written word to become spoken word for it to have the power. Until the written word is the spoken word, it is not effective. It is not as powerful. You need to take the written word of God and speak it out and say it with your mouth and personalize it and take it to yourself and make it your own and colonize it and call it your own. You should make the word of God your own gospel. I like the fact sometimes when you start to read the gospel according to Matthew, the good news according to Matthew has personalized the good news. So when you are reading the Bible, don't just read it as the gospel of Matthew. Make it your own gospel. Personalize it. Give voice to the word, to the written word. Because the word is near you, even in your mouth. You make the word to be near you with your mouth. So ladies and gentlemen, you have to give voice to the letter. Scripture lets us understand. The letter kills. The letter kills. But the spirit of the word of God is derived by speaking. By speaking. You know, several years ago, I was reading Genesis. And I noticed something there. I noticed that every time there is the spirit, there is always speaking. In Genesis chapter 1, we saw that the Bible said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Right? Then verse 3 said, the earth was without form and void. And then he went on to say, and the Spirit of God moved over the seas. And immediately the Spirit moved. There was voice. There was speaking. Same thing in Acts. You remember that what happened in Genesis chapter 1 was the beginning of life, human life. What happened in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 1 was pretty much the inauguration of the spiritual the church, you know, because from Genesis God had to deal with the physical nation, but from the New Testament, especially starting from Acts, we were not going to now be nations by tribe and by borders. We were now going to be all kinds of people, because the church is not just a nation. Amen to that. Because sometimes the church wants to think that it's this nation of Israel. I love Israel, but sometimes I think we get it wrong. Israel is not the church. Can somebody say amen? Because I know some people can almost shoot me for saying that kind of thing. How can you say that? Yeah, if you don't know Jesus, you are not you are not really I mean, don't, because God started with Israel does not mean that everybody in Israel is following him. They need to also know him. That's what Paul was saying in Romans, I think, chapter 6, chapter 7. I said, I have some desire for my people. I have some burden for my people. But they need to know Jesus. They need to receive God through Jesus. Not just practice what happened from Genesis to Malachi. Something has happened after Malachi. Amen to that. Okay, so whenever the Spirit of God moves, the voice of God, the voice is released. Or you can say this, there is always a connection between speaking and the Spirit of God. And it is the Spirit that gives life. It is not just the letter. It is not just having the ink on paper in the Bible that makes life to happen. It is until it becomes animated. The word that was with God needed to become flesh. It needed to become tangible. It needed to become something that could move into the neighborhood. There are so many people, it seems the word of God in their life is still with God. It has not become flesh. Many of us, that's why we are where we are. That's why the strength that we have is not, is at the level that it is. Because the word of God that we are operating on is still, so to say, a letter word. We have not given voice to the word such that the word becomes live and becomes living. It is your voice that activates the spirit of the word. It is your voice that makes the word to leave paper, to leave the ink, and begin to move into the neighborhood. There are places, there are institutions, there are government organizations that people, many of us, need to begin to have access to. But we will not have access to until we open our mouth. Open your mouth, scripture says, and I will fill it. So you need to open your mouth in accordance to the word of God and speak the word. Look at your neighbor, say, speak the word. So it was the voice of God that turned the ideas of God into life. It was the word, the voice of God in Genesis chapter 1. Everything God had in his heart, he spoke it out. He voiced it. He verbalized it. So ladies and gentlemen, I am here to tell you that we can renew our strength, not just by feeding on the word, not just by listening to the word, not just by hearing the word, not just by reading the word, but by saying the word. If we say catch up, don't just let it remain like that. Some people will even joke about it. Catch up. You will not feel it. You will not experience it. But there are some people that will take it literally. They won't think maybe pastor is just getting himself excited. They will take it literally, and it will happen for them like that. Literally. Hallelujah. So when you hear the word of God, personalize it. It is mine. Tell it to yourself over and over again. Sometimes you need to go before the mirror and say what the word of God is saying about you. Oh yes, say it. There are many times, this is how I do my prayer sometimes. I will go to the book of Psalms and I'll be reading some Psalms and I will personalize it. I will just read it. Maybe like say, I go to Psalm 23. The Lord is Emmanuel's shepherd. He shall not want. Sometimes it's good to stand before the mirror because you are confirming it with the guy in the mirror. He will be your prayer partner. He's still you. He can't, he's you. He usually will do everything you are doing. You say, the Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. He makes you to lie down in green pasture and he restores your soul. You can shout. If you don't have any mirror where you can shout, like me, I usually can't shout in the house. It would disturb everybody. So I shout in the car. Amen. Look at something, but take this word literally. Take this word and voice it. Because you see, words don't make themselves happen. People make them happen. Next year also, we are going to start something called Enforced. We want to enforce prophecy because prophecies, they don't have automatic happenings. Prophecies are engaged. You engage prophecy to make them to come to pass. You engage prophecy. If you read the book of Daniel, the summary of the book of Daniel was that, look, God promised some things, and Daniel was reading literature, reading the word of God, what we call the Bible now. And he came across some things and discovered that the exile that the people of God were supposed to experience was supposed to expire at a particular time. And he was wondering, if the word says so, if this is what is in the word, why is it not happening? Then he began to pray. That's how God gave him some revelation. God gave him revelation so much that he saw more than his generation. He saw even into our generation. He saw things into our generation. He saw many things about empires. He saw so many things because he became curious. And then he said, prophecies must be enforced. He now began to say, God, do what you have said. Held God to it. And that's how you make things happen. Things don't just happen because it just wants to happen. No, you make it happen. You enforce it. You bring it down. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, Christ has blessed us in heavenly places. Everything God has to do is in the past tense. Why is it not in your present tense? Because you are not bringing it down. If you leave it to God, it will be remaining in the past tense. You have to bring it into your present tense or push it into your future tense by bringing it down with your mouth, with your voice, with what you say, with how you say things, how consistently you say it. Can I say that part of the frequency? Many times when people come to church like this, we say all the right things. We say all the right things. And sometimes when people open their Bible, they say all the right things too. But when they leave those atmosphere, the church, front of their Bible, front of the phone, or anything that looks like God, they begin to now say things that don't align with what they have prayed about. And they say more of that than the prayer that they have prayed. Can I tell you the truth? The frequency of the other bad things you are saying is outweighing the good things that you are saying about yourself. So you have said it before God, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. But when you get to the presence of that thing, you say, no, me, I can't do this thing. You don't say it in that way, but that's what you imply. Some people even use euphemism, or what do you call it now? Metaphors. And they say what they don't mean. But they mean what they have not said. And God knows the difference, and the devil also knows it. You know? And the devil also knows it. So what am I saying tonight? I am saying we need to give voice to the word. And we need to continually give voice to the word. Whether we are in a place where we are with physical Bible, in an atmosphere of church, everywhere we are, be consistently consistent. Be dogmatic about what you see about yourself. Be dogmatic about what is said about you. Don't just take this, even in a class, even in a place where people are just talking and saying, we did something. Excuse yourself. You always have the permission. Sometimes you may not need to be rude and raise your hands up and say, excuse me, can I excuse myself from this discussion? No, you don't. You can excuse yourself in your own self as you are standing there and tell yourself, I'm not part of this whole game. It's not going to happen to me like this. Mine will not be slow. Mine will not be this. Because sometimes some people will go to hospital. They will go to a particular place. And in those public spaces, people will be sharing all kinds of diseases. They'll be sharing all kinds of revelations and prophecy and prophesying to be. And people will be taking it. Oh, this is this. Oh, that is that. And people say, oh, yeah, that's so. That's true. That's that. No, you don't have to do that. You can excuse yourself from that. You can excuse yourself based on the word of God. It is the reality of the word of God that will be your reality. You can be in a class and not be under the same subject and not be under the same condition as every other person in that class. Amen? Even in science, we make exceptions, right? They will tell you that, everything being equal. Because there are exceptions, there are outliers, there are things that put themselves out of the whole pack and say, no, I don't want to be like all these other things. You can be that exception. And I see you being that exception in the name of Jesus. So what are we saying tonight? I close with this. Renewed strength is a function of nutrition. And the nutrition is what you hear, how you hear it, and what you say about what you hear. You need to give voice to what you have heard. Don't let the devil destroy you. Take control of your atmosphere by what you say into your atmosphere. Charge your atmosphere. Charge your world. Charge your day. Charge your family. Speak the word. Speak the word of God over your children. When they are awake, speak the word. When they are asleep, speak the word. Touch them. When they don't know that you are speaking the word, speak the word over them. Mention them in your prayer. Mention them when they are not there. Speak the word over them. Into their future, speak words. Speak words. Speak words. Don't be people who don't understand the value of animating the promises of God. Because that's how you receive strength. The more you do that, you find that strength will come. You find that the strength of God will come to you. And you'll be able to do the things that you were not able to do before. You'll go back to places that you have failed before and you will succeed there. You'll go back to things that have made you to run away. And you will confront them and those things will run from you. In the name of Jesus. I prophesy to somebody listening to me tonight. Everything that you have been running away from, you will confront them in this season and they will run from you. In the name of Jesus. Everything that you have been incapable of doing, listen and hear the word of God. Receive new strength to do in the name of Jesus. I see you scaling height. I see you soaring. I see you increasing in speed, in intensity, in everything good in the name of Jesus. It is well with you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I want you to stand up and